The Church Media Podcast, episode number 83, Building the Creative Church, part 2, with Matt Light and Chris Chiputi. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
Show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now. At 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill. This is the definitive podcast for helping you execute your weekend services. We talk about audio, video, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, leadership, and more. This week on the show, I welcome back the guys from the Creative Church Company, Matt Light and Chris Chiputi. Last week, we talked about creativity in the church and the model that churches are moving to accomplish more creative work. You can check out that episode at 1230media.com/082, is in episode number 82. The conversation continues today. You're going to be getting a ton of knowledge from two great minds in the church media space today. Part two of my interview with Chris and Matt is right after this.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey guys, for this week's church media resource of the week, I want you to check out my friends at the Creative Church Company. They provide churches with some amazing helps from strategy to design to video, social media, and more. Here's a little bit about their company. Check this out.
It all began back in 2012 at a terminal while waiting for a flight back home. This led to regular meetups at coffee shops to talk life and ideas and dreams. And out of those conversations came the idea to provide creative staff to churches who normally couldn't afford it. We started the Creative Church Company to give ministries like yours the creative support you need without the hassle of hiring. Over the years, we have been able to evolve the needs of the local church to make creative communications achievable for almost any church. Every platform and service we create at the Creative Church Company is meant to help your church increase giving, build awareness, or boost efficiency. Because we've developed processes and infrastructure to understand the churches we serve, we can then focus our energies on delivering the most effective solutions for your missional challenges and goals. No more contracts, no more interviews, no more hiring. We've made it easy for you to get the creative support you desire at a price you can actually afford. Whether it be social channel management, Google AdWords optimization, custom design for sermon series or events, websites, ready-to-use content, temporary creative staffing, one-on-one coaching, even video production, we've created an opportunity for your church. So no matter what kind of creative support your ministry needs, we would love to start a conversation.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Okay, I'm going to continue the randomness here. And let's talk about goals, church goals. How do you help churches prioritize their goals that they want to set over the next, you know, year, 2 years, 5 years? How do you help them set their goals and prioritize them?
For sure. Yeah, so everything gets filtered. So the once we help them define their DNA, then on top of that, we can then build the community aspect of who they are, what struggles do they have, you know, really help them understand the community. Because then from there, we can then begin to figure out, okay, what goals do you have as a church? Everything gets filtered through the DNA and community. If it's something that will, if they're looking at taking on an initiative, or maybe they have a ministry or want to start a ministry, all of those things get measured by, will it help you live your why and reach your who? That's a big question we ask is, will this help you live your why and reach your who? If not, don't even waste your time. It's not worth it. If it's not going to help you live your why or reach your who, don't even waste your time or money or resources on it. So that also becomes a measuring stick for ministries that currently exist in churches. So once you help someone actually define their DNA and the community, they might see programs within their own church like, man, like we've been like grinding this ministry for 15 years just for the fact that we've been doing it for 15 years. But it's not doing any good to helping us live our why or reach our who. And they can then reallocate those resources or volunteers or whatever else into something that's actually going to help them as a elbow or little toe in the body of Christ be effective in those things. And then we just help them kind of compare, like, hey, here's the resource cost, whether it's time or money, versus the potential return on investment for it. And it's a scale system that we use to help them kind of figure out, okay, what's the low-hanging fruit that we can capitalize on right now, and what are the big-picture goals that might take us 3, 4, 5 years to actually start seeing some fruit from. And so we help them kind of lay that stuff out so we can actually then help them plan, okay, here's the things that you can execute on right now. And here's the timeline, here's the cost, here's those different other things. And hey, if you continue down this path with these things, in 5 years from now, you guys should start seeing this kind of an impact on whatever some of those goals are. And we always try to make it so it's not like, churches like churchy answers. You know, if they could say that the answer was Jesus to everything, they probably would. When it comes to goals for churches, the big one's always like, oh, more tithes or more giving. That's not always the answer. That's not always the end result that a church needs. Sometimes you need to do things that are going to cost you money and have absolutely no impact on your bottom line. May even put you in the red a little bit on a particular line item, but the kingdom impact is going to be huge. And so that all gets weighed out, you know, between the DNA, understand the community, and then the goals that are going to help you, you know, live your why and reach your who.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about why. A guy that I really like and respect is Simon Sinek from the Start With Why company. In fact, we had an associate of his, Stephen Chedletsky, on last year to talk through the principles through their company. And they're not a faith-based organization, but those principles of start with why, and it sounds so simple that we should, you know, start with the reason or the why behind why we're doing something. But it's amazing how that when I go and talk with churches, and you guys are telling me the same thing, is that you almost kind of have to refocus and kind of go back to the beginning. Okay, I see what you're doing. Let's kind of go back to basics and start with your why. Yeah. You know, do you guys find that a lot?
Sometimes church's why is because Jesus said to. And I kind of push back and say, well, that's not a good reason because, you know, if you really want to boil down, Jesus didn't ask us to do things. He has to do things for him. He asks us to do things with him. So if he's telling us to go, like, we have to figure out, is he actually telling us to go, or are we just going and leaving God behind us? Because we say, like, oh, this is what God wants us to do, but God never asked you to do it. So it's a funny thing, but yeah. And the book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek is all-star book. I think it should be one of the mandatory, reading books for anybody in seminary. Even though it is a secular marketplace book, it's phenomenal with the amount of insights that they give to just to make sure, hey, you're focused and you're doing things the right way for the right reason.
Yeah. What do you see as some of the biggest obstacles that churches have when they're trying to reach their goals?
Probably that they haven't taken the time to define measurable goals. They just haven't taken the time to just figure out, hey, what would be a goal of ours? But from there, the thing is that they also create goals that aren't measurable. They say, we want to increase giving. Well, by how much? Like, what? Like, are you guys gonna be happy with 1%, or do you want 50%? Like, what makes that a goal? We want to help the community. We want to help marriages get strengthened. Okay, how is that measurable? Does that mean like lower divorce rate? Does that mean Helping them find out, okay, what are the things that are actually measurable and tangible, whether through percentages or statistics or demographics or this, that, or the other thing, that you can then see we are being effective with this goal. Because if you can't have something to measure, you have no idea if you're doing a good job or not. And so a lot of times they just don't set goals, but beyond that, they set goals that they can't measure to see if they're even being effective in them. And so when you combine those two together, then you can actually start seeing, are we doing good or not? Because then you can start shifting or adjusting to the trends that you're seeing. Data is king. I mean, data is absolutely king. Mm-hmm. And the more data you have, the more you're able to measure things. What's that saying? What's not measured? I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it's some like marketing thing or something like that. What's not measured doesn't get done or something. I don't know. But it's the same thing with the goals that a church and ministry would have.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears and talk to you about design. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see churches make when it comes to design?
Well, first, let me start out by saying that design has come a long way in the last few years. And, you know, I'm not talking transparencies. I'm not talking about, PowerPoint slides or even media shot. I mean, like, we have the technology today allows you to essentially download an app and create graphics on it. You know, the YouVersion app has an ability to create social graphics there. So when it comes to like design, I mean, technology, it really kind of accelerated the quality of it pretty significantly. Some of the mistakes that I would probably say in regards to just design in general is those churches who maybe aren't ready to make, you know, drastic changes in how they do things, you know, whether they're kind of married to this, you know, the way they do things or they're content with how things are, you know. And I think we're looking at from a visual communication aspect of it, it doesn't look good, you know, and whether or not that's being effective. Because the last thing you want to do is make anything that you design be distracting. And I think that's kind of like the biggest thing is like whether it's, you know, clip art, you know, or you know, pictures that you get off Google that you don't really have permission to use, but you want it's exactly right in line with your message, and you're going to put it up there. And it's, you know, so there's so much that goes into design, but basically the biggest mistakes are those people who just really are kind of set in their ways and just aren't willing to kind of embrace the, you know, kind of maybe even the idea of something new that helps them communicate better. Design has come a long, long way. And people nowadays can download an app and almost accomplish exactly what they need. That's kind of, you know, just my response in a nutshell as far as, you know, some of the biggest mistakes is those people who are just harped on the, you know,
I would say that's probably one of the things that as a designer myself, that I have to either close my eyes or try not to get distracted with at churches. Is, you know, the cringeworthy, they did not just do that. Or, you know, they are you seriously using clip art or are you seriously using Papyrus for your lyric font? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, I have to, you know, do y'all find that too? That you're like, like you're distracted because you're a designer?
Oh, of course. And I mean, that's just because that's the space that the world we live in. You know, like I was a film major in college and I had class after class of just like, just critiquing films, right? You know, it took me forever to be able to go to the movies again for fun. You know, like, and just you train your mind a certain way to look for things that it almost becomes like cringeworthy when you find something that's not done right or done right. You know, and also there's a lot of leeway. You know, as designers, you know, we know that creativity comes from different places, inspiration comes from different places, people design differently. So there's also a lot of leeway in just design in general, but there are certain things that just like, it's a universal law that you just don't do. And I think those are things that I'm with you, Carl. Like I can't even stare. I can't even look at it kind of thing. But it's cringeworthy is a very accurate description of that.
Yeah. Okay. Do you recommend for a church without a graphic designer on staff, or a large budget, do you recommend that they try to learn their own thing? It kind of goes with this discussion. Do you recommend that they learn their own thing or hire a designer? Which area would you suggest them go?
Again, we're kind of living in a world where, like, you know, high school kids have buy computers with all the bells and whistles on it. Like, when we were younger, like, you know, when we were kind of getting into this space, probably, like, we had to buy the expensive software, right? Now it's just, like, freely given to people, like Photoshop. You know, there are teenagers out there that know their way around Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, all these kind of, like, design platforms that, you know, a church that is looking for something like this could very well have people within their church that has that skill set already. So if a church is really kind of interested in something like this, I would just say pull your congregation or pull your community and be like, what do people like live, you know, or, you know, what are their interests? And, you know, you might be surprised to find some really, really talented people right in front, you know, right within your walls, right within your community. And so I'd probably even just start there. And if you kind of come back and be like, man, there isn't really anyone that is interested in this. Where do we go now? Like, the quick thing most people automatically jump to is like, who do we hire? Who do we pay? Right. And some churches can't get to that because they're like, you know, for us to hire someone to do this, like, we can't even afford that, you know? And so I think kind of going way back to kind of where Matt and I started is like, we saw this. It's like, there are a lot of churches in a really tough spot that just don't know what to do. There's no one within the church. There's no help at their fingertips. Where do we go? And so the Creative Church company comes in and at an affordable way, can get them where they need to be design wise. And so I'm not trying to plug Creative Church, but I mean, in a way, like, I think our company is really built to help churches that A, can afford someone full time and just need some help. So,
yeah, I kind of feel that too.
I think a lot of times too that a church tries to hire from within. And I'm gonna throw this out there. I've been waiting for, I actually know a couple of churches that have, but I've been waiting for it to become a popular thing where churches hire a designer even though they're not a Christian. I think that'd be the smartest move. Because you know they're gonna have the chops, because they're gonna be able to survive in the secular marketplace. And they're there to be a graphic designer. They're not there to be a pastor. Why does it need to be someone who's actually a Christian or someone from within the church in order for them to be a graphic designer at your church? So I'm just going to throw that out there, that I've been waiting for that to become a normalcy, because I think there's a lot of opportunity out there to get some quality designers in a church that could potentially, through relationship, come to follow the Lord. So just throwing it out there.
I'd push back on that in this regard. And with a graphic designer, I can probably see that. With more of a video guy, you know, in the video realm or even in live production, when you're telling stories, you know, that might be an area of a designer that I would not bring in someone from, you know, a non-Christian, because they're trying to communicate a story of life change, you know, that sort of thing. But man,
for sure.
I agree with you. I think that the, you know, graphic design role, I almost agree that we should probably go with quality better over they have to be a believer in that graphic designer role sometimes at churches. Okay, so let's move to
some of the most talented people I know aren't Christians, and it's interesting that you say that, Matt, because I think that's a very disruptive way of thinking about things. And I like kind of disrupting conversations and that, so that'd be very interesting to see. And I think that could maybe work. I don't know. Just I'm processing that a cell out too.
yeah, that would be interesting. Okay, so I definitely think that with that, a lot of churches will hire from within a less talented person, or they get, you know, Uncle Joey's cousin that did some, you know, clip art or PowerPoint.
He just updated publisher and he's
That's
ready
right.
to go.
That's right. Okay, I was going to say, let's move to social media. Matt, what do you see the trends going? Where do you see the trends going with social media? What are the pros and cons of how you see churches on social media today?
All right. One of the really cool things that I've been noticing is that a lot more churches are adopting social media as a part of what they do. That gap of that of the church generally being behind the rest of the world is closing almost as fast as technology is changing now, which is really cool to see. So I think a major pro is that they're at least doing something. That's a big, big thing. Whereas like 3-4 years ago, social media was kind of scoffed at, like, oh, this isn't going to be around for very much longer type of thing, almost in the church for some reason, you know? It's almost like kind of that, like, oh, social media, that'll be gone next year. But now churches are seeing, like, hey, this has value, and we can do things. The con, though, is that with that, there's a lack of intentionality and strategy. Again, kind of going back to that thing. The issue now is that we're no longer in a broadcasting era. Broadcasting is dead. TV, as we know, is dying. Everything that we are familiar with is changing to, like, this app-based, custom, targeted, niche content. And so when a church uses social media just to broadcast, you know, verbal, scriptural vomit, it doesn't really always add value, because now, like I said, we have the ability through Facebook and different other things to actually target specific content to specific people at a specific time. And so I think that the pro is, yes, they're doing stuff. And if churches can begin to see the value of actually targeting content, it's going to unlock so many things and so much potential for the content that they do create to have impact.
Do you think that we should pour money at all into television ministry? Or maybe a better way of asking this is, does anybody under the age of 40 watch TV or watch church on broadcast television? What do you guys think?
I actually just saw a stat. I think Jay Crandall put out that infographic, didn't he, Chris?
Not sure.
It was it showed the changes over the past like 5 years of how people actually consume television now.
Yeah.
And the only place where people have increased consuming television programs on a normal TV programming is those who are 55 and older. Mm. Everyone else, it's decreased by like at least 7 or 8%. On every other age demographic, male and female. And some people have even dropped as far as like 40%, I believe, over the past couple of years. And so it's wild to kind of see how that over 50 demographic, they're actually consuming more TV on a traditional TV platform, whereas everyone below that is going like specific niche content and app-based consumption of television programming. And so, again, I think it comes down to, what's your why and who's your who.
Yeah.
You know, if your why and your who line up with television type ministry, then you need to do it. I would also caution, like, hey, this could be a dead medium in, you know, 5 years. You know, with how everything's going, and even like DirecTV and these different other services, they're all going app based. You don't need hardware and satellite dishes and all these different other things anymore. Like, everything's going digital streaming based. And so, as this one says, of like, hey, that's where your community is at. They need to go to where they're at. But if that's not where they're at, don't waste your time.
And I think you bring up a good point that it's not capturing your content and delivering it to people is not what's dead. What's dead or what's going out is the medium in which that content is delivered. So, for instance, if you feel free to capture that content and deliver it through an app rather than a TV ministry, perhaps.
Yeah.
We were my family was staying home last weekend to watch church instead of go. We just had a busy weekend, and instead of thinking, it just didn't even cross my mind, well, maybe we'll turn on the TV and we'll catch Charles Stanley on Channel 3 or something. Well, my initial thought was, I wonder if my church has an Apple TV app that we can watch, and certainly they do. And so we consume church that way. So, do you have any other thoughts on that?
It's also a lot cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than it used to be.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, obviously technology is changing, and you know, now you can put a Roku, an Amazon Fire TV stick, or Apple TV in your living room for however much money, or create an app, and then it's already in their living room. You know, like they it's already the vehicle that they already use to consume media. You're just now kind of making it, you know, available to them where they are at, and I love that.
Yeah, and the thing that's really changed the game is that now Joe Blow can be a content creator now, whereas before it took massive media companies to be content creators. Now it takes something as like something like $16 a month to create a Squarespace blog, and now you have a platform to create content like that. That didn't exist like 15 years ago. You know, and so that technology has completely changed the game with not the stories that are being told, but with how stories are being delivered and who's able to tell those stories. And that, I think it's really exciting. I think it's really exciting to see, you know, even over the next 3 years, what's going to change more.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get exclusive content for your team online now at 1230media.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kent Brantley, helping respond to the Ebola outbreak.
Once I take care of my children, I'm gone.
We were standing alone.
You have no idea if you're next.
I just remember saying, Kent, your test is positive.
Dr. Brantley was dying. We had to keep fighting.
My greatest fear is that I would have to raise my kids alone.
We're going to do everything we possibly can do to get your husband back.
Oh, God! You never leave my side!
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire, we don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, in select theaters March 30th. Visit facingdarknessmovie.com for more information.
Show notes for this episode are online now at 1230media.com/083, as in episode number 83. Archives of all of our shows, including last week's part one with Chris and Matt, is on our website at 1230media.com/podcast. Check that out today.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome back Chris and Matt for a third round. We split my interview with those guys up into three parts because we just went way too long. We had so much to talk about, so we split that content up for you. So the guys join me once again next week. That is Building the Creative Church Part 3. Be sure to check that out. David Michael Hyde has been our podcast producer for this week's show. You can find him online at davidmichaelhyde.com. He is the best composer for film and digital media on the planet. Thanks for listening this week. If you would sometime today, go to iTunes and leave a review of the show. We would greatly appreciate that. And it's been a privilege hanging out with you guys. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
Catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.